Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Lindsay Ward. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. So Lindsay is the suicide prevention manager at the Missouri Veterans Commission. Relatively new on the job, too, right?
Yes.
All right. So in July, Governor Mike Parsons signed Senate Bill 912 and House Bill 1495, charging the Veterans Commission with creating a new program to assist in efforts to prevent veteran suicide. So Lindsay is leading that program, working in collaboration with the Department of Mental Health.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about you first. So what's your background? I understand you are a veteran yourself.
Yes.
What's your military background? What's your education, work experience like?
Sure. So I spent from 1996 to 2012 active duty in the Marine Corps. I left as a gunnery sergeant. I spent most of my time managing logistics for several Marine Corps aviation units. During that time, I was able to also have some collateral duties, such as uniform victim advocate, substance abuse counselor. Those were helpful and instrumental in paving the next path in my civilian life after I transitioned.
Yeah.
So those two roles really prompted me to attend Columbia College. I graduated there with a bachelor's in sociology. As soon as I left Columbia College, I started work with the Arthur Center in Mexico, Missouri. I spent several years there doing community kind of case management work with the youth population in five counties out in that area, working on behavioral interventions and just assisting with various mental health crises and emergency acute care in some cases.
So the focus was more on the general public at that point.
It was mostly kids, youth population. They usually carried a caseload of about 30 kids.
Okay.
Again, that really helped pave the way for the next step.
Yeah.
While I loved doing what I was doing, working with the youth population, I missed that connection with veterans. So fortunately, there came a position open for a veteran service officer with Missouri Veterans Commission.
Okay.
I applied for that. I got that. And that's where I've spent the last 3 years.
All right.
Our veteran service officers are helpful in getting veterans connected to resources, VA, disability compensation benefits. Okay. So learned a lot there.
Yeah. Do you work out of one specific veteran's home, or is it beyond the home network there?
We have about 42, I think, VSOs, 45 roughly, service officers across the state.
Okay.
So that way we have them spread out and more accessible to our Missouri veterans.
Yeah.
I started in the Columbia office.
Okay.
And then transitioned to the Mexico office, which is in the Missouri Veterans Home over there.
All right.
So that's where I have stayed, and that's where I actually continue to keep an office.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So then this position was created.
Yes.
So, so let's talk about, recognize again, you've got 2 weeks into the seat, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, obviously as the horizon develops for you, you're going to get a better sense of what the role is now and what it might turn into in the future. But what are some of the primary things that you'll be doing as a suicide prevention manager?
So initially, we're working to collect data and information so we can know where to start to build this program up. Of course, we do have a deadline when we need to have this accomplished by. So far, things are going well. I've been building a lot of good relationships with Department of Mental Health and some of our community partners. So it's going well in the 2 weeks.
Okay. So I think some folks, maybe a few years ago, have been more of a surprise to them. But for some folks still, the idea of veteran suicide being a problem may not immediately register with them. So how big of a problem is it?
Certainly, it is an epidemic across the United States. It's a very big problem. Unfortunately, Missouri has a little bit of higher rate than some other states. So I'm very thankful that we're taking this step in bringing awareness and helping to collaborate and help connect veterans with the resources mm-hmm. that they need. So
what are some of the issues? I mean, obviously not every veteran is exactly the same, so you sure. can't say
sure.
it's factor A, B, C, and D, but what are some of the factors that veterans do share that lead to these mental health issues that cause them to consider suicide?
Well, there's a wide range of factors that lead to that. I don't know that I can necessarily address those. Mm-hmm. Those are a little bit outside of my scope with this position right now. But yeah. we hope to know more about those kind of social determinants and some of the things that impact the reasons why veterans commit suicide.
Yeah.
We're just not quite there yet.
Yeah. So what sort of a network do you believe exists now to, or that you will have to build, quite honestly, in that it's not as simple as, well, we'll just focus on the veterans' homes because that's a small point of the population. What are some of the resources out there that you think may come into play that will help get the message out, also be a gathering point for discussions?
Well, that's a great question. I know the Governor's Challenge organization has really helped to build another collaborative with other agencies to help promote the awareness and more of that clinical kind of support. Mm-hmm. The VA themselves have great mental health programs. Mm. It's about getting them there
yeah.
and accessing those.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I recall you may not have heard the podcast we did a few weeks ago, but we were talking to Judge Cotton Walker, who leads the Veterans Court here, where we talked a little bit about specific issues unique to veterans and how they interact with the courts. And it seems to me that those treatment courts, as well as the Department of Mental Health, has clinics throughout a variety of the counties. Those may be resources as well. Is that plausible?
Sure, that's plausible. Absolutely.
Yeah. So if a veteran were considering suicide right now, mm-hmm. right, obviously our response should be to try to help. Right? What resources are there now that if someone's listening and they're thinking, you know, I'm done, what is the best course of action they could take to get help?
Certainly 988 is a wonderful resource, and it's there 24/7. Mm-hmm. Veterans can text or call that line.
Okay.
Because not everybody is comfortable maybe with making the phone call. Maybe
sure.
they feel better about keeping it a little bit more anonymous through text. But that's certainly a great resource right
okay.
now.
All right. Well, and that may be a great opportunity too mm-hmm. to channel once the person that calls in receives a call, they could mm-hmm. then channel it to a civilian
yeah.
or veteran treatment program.
Sure.
So.
Well, I'm a huge supporter of the Buddy Check program. Well, that promotes call a friend, pick up the phone, call a friend that you served with maybe that you just haven't talked to in a while. Reach out. That one phone call, maybe if it's even just 2 minutes or 5 minutes, could be a call that could save someone's life.
Yeah.
So that to me is very important, reaching out and that peer support.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, mm-hmm. clearly family and friends would want to help, but there's a unique perspective that a fellow veteran
sure.
can have. And so that makes total sense. So how does one become part of that program?
Well, it's a program in a sense, but what it does is encourage folks to reach out and call someone. So it's, again, just promoting that, just reach out. I mean, I know I myself do it quite often. I have a great connection with a lot of folks that I served with,
mm-hmm.
and we keep connections up, especially around the holidays and things, and it's been really helpful for some of my personal friends.
Yeah.
So from a personal experience, I think it works.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it strikes me, and this may just be a stereotype, but given your experience working with the general public as well as veterans, mm-hmm. the stereotype that I've heard a lot is that for veterans, it's harder because, for many of them, because there's this sense of control, mm-hmm. right? It's a question of strength, right? That that you're there to serve and not to be in a situation where you need help, right? What would you say to those who are listening that maybe would help them understand that there is strength in talking about it?
I encountered that a lot as a service officer. Mm-hmm. I would have older veterans come in that had never applied for benefits because they felt like they weren't entitled.
Yeah.
They were still whole. They didn't have the physical damages from war like others did, but I would just have to let them know the benefits are there for you.
Yeah.
And it is okay to ask for help. It is okay to not be okay, essentially.
Yeah.
There is help out there. And then getting them connected with the VA and sometimes even like the disability benefits was that helping step that got them into a more positive direction.
Yeah. I think it's funny is not the right word, but it's curious that a lot of the reasoning that I hear when they're in that situation is somebody else needs help.
Yeah.
You know, so help them, right? But we all have to at one point admit we all need help.
Sure.
And so I think that's a great focus that you're mm-hmm. you're going to have is to get everyone to understand that.
I know one of the common questions that's come up is what are the challenges that we have kind of found so far? Mm-hmm. I would say one of the challenges or one of the obstacles that I feel like we've kind of come across in trying to build that data and find out where the need is that most data is traditionally at least 2 years old or older as far as suicide rates go.
Yeah.
So with the ever-changing landscape of what things are looking like, especially post-COVID, it's really hard to capture where the need is. And so that makes it kind of challenging. Yeah.
So where does one go to get the data? Is it
the VA, CDC offers great data pages online. Mm-hmm. Google can be our friend. It's very easy to find.
Okay.
That's the best way to go. But the VA has great pages that are organized like by state, by demographic. It's very well put together.
Okay. So I guess that also leads to the question. So how big is your staff, right? I mean, are you basically the lone wolf out there or do you have support staff in place now or do you anticipate support staff?
I really can't answer that right now, but it is my task right now to get this going.
Yeah.
Of course, everyone with Missouri Veterans Commission is very supportive and providing as much help as they possibly can along the way.
Yeah. So, and I think you had mentioned to me previous to the podcast, you're based out of Centralia.
Mexico.
Sorry.
It's okay.
How does one get in touch with your office? Should they want to reach out to you directly?
So if someone wants to reach out for more information from the Missouri Veterans Commission, they can call our main line at 573-751-3779, or they can access our benefit portal, which is a great resource that someone worked really hard to put together that has links to financial help, education, whole nine yards. That can be accessed at veteranbenefits.mo.gov. And of course, we talked about the 988 crisis number.
Yes.
Again, encourage anyone who is having any thoughts of suicide or just needing to talk, text or call 988.
Well, we appreciate the work that you're doing. We look forward to seeing how this evolves and the success in it because we too value the service of our veterans and we certainly want to make sure they're taken care of now that they're back home.
Absolutely.
So, Lindsay, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me here.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.